In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
One of my favorite memoirists is a woman named Rachel Naomi Raymond. She's a Jewish author and a medical doctor who writes books full of short vignettes about places she has experienced the presence of God in her life. The first book I ever read by her was called My Grandfather's Blessing. And in it, she recounts how her grandfather, a Jewish mystic, taught her at a young age about God and faith. She opens the book with a story of the gift he gave her when she was 4 years old. On a visit to her apartment in New York, he brought her a present, as he often did. This time, though, it was a small Dixie cup full of dirt. Seeing it and being more than a little bit disappointed, she informed him that she was not allowed to play with dirt and tried to give it back to him. But he told Rachel that it was a very special gift and she was not to play with it. Instead, he took down her little teapot and went to the kitchen and filled it with water and poured it in the cup. Then he made her promise that she would do the same thing every day and set it in the windowsill of her sixth floor apartment. The first week, she repeated the action every day when she got up. By the second week, she was starting to lose interest and would forget sometimes until she had been tucked into bed at night and would have to get up and water the cup in the dark before going back to bed. At the end of that week, she tried to give the present back to him at Shabbat dinner, but he was not about to accept it, and he told her that she had to keep her promise. By the third week, she grudgingly kept the ritual up, sorry she had ever made that promise at all. But at the end of the third week, she got up one morning to complete the ritual and found in the cup two bright green leaves poking through the earth where nothing had been before. She called and told her grandfather of the miracle, certain he would be as excited as she was. But he seemed unsurprised. He explained to her that life was all around her, hidden in the most ordinary and unlikely places. She was delighted at that thought, and in her childish way said, "And all this life needs to grow is water, Grandpa?" And he said, "No, Rachel, all it needs to grow is faithfulness." And she kept her promise and continued the ritual. And as the plant grew and grew, it eventually needed a bigger pot, and she was rewarded for keeping her promise. She says, looking back, that he taught her to remember to bless the life around her and the life within her, and that if she could remember this lesson, even on the sixth-story floor of a concrete city, she could help heal the world. When Jesus speaks to his disciples of the kingdom of God, he often uses agricultural analogies. We get two of those parables today. Short little two or three line sayings that are packed with meaning about the kingdom of God and our relationship to it. In the first, we learn that a farmer has scattered seeds, those small vessels that contain dormant life, waiting to spring up, all around us, and that the farmer is waiting night and day for them to grow to fruition so that he can harvest them. And in the second story, Jesus tells us that the kingdom of God is like the smallest of all seeds, which grows into a mighty shrub that becomes the sanctuary for many birds to nest in. Let's look at what we can learn about the kingdom of God from these short sayings. First, the growth can often be imperceptible. The farmer carries on night and day, much like the little four-year-old girl in my opening story, unaware that growth has begun taking root well below the surface, until the moment that life miraculously breaks through the ground and into sight. Second, growth is constant and follows a rather predictable pattern. The leaves first, which are needed so that the plant can feed itself, then the stalk as it forms an actual recognizable plant, and finally the fruit. The important thing is not how large the seed of life was in the beginning. It could be as tiny as a mustard seed, but rather how it's growing. If the growth is constant, it can grow into a large tree with vast limbs, even if it started off small. And third, the growth is inevitable if you are faithful in the task at hand. Seeds are simply dormant life. Given the right care and conditions, they will grow, and few things can impede that growth. We've all seen plants sprouting up straight through the cement of a sidewalk or the asphalt of our driveways, or a tree whose roots have stretched around a giant boulder in search of the soil that will provide it nourishment. Once the seed has found the conditions for life and sprouted, it will not be denied. Maybe Jesus uses agricultural analogies so often because the logic of the kingdom of God is sown right into the very essence of our world, sown at its creation, and waiting to spring forth into life and grow to fruition if only we are faithful tenders of that growth. The other thing these short parables teach us is how we are to respond to these seeds sown around us. One thing we must admit is that it calls for patience. And like the little girl in the story, that's not easy for most of us if we don't see results immediately. It's an important lesson in the church because it has, after all, been 2,000 years since Pentecost, the pouring out of God's Spirit in our world, and we are still awaiting the harvest. It can be maddening waiting for signs of growth in our own lives, but the process of creating life cannot be rushed. Part of being faithful is being patient. It's also about being hopeful. Amid the frustrating times of waiting, of continuing to water a cup of dirt, we must remember that we hope in a harvest, a time of fruition when all will eat of the bounty of God's kingdom. And lastly, this metaphor for the kingdom calls us to preparedness. The farmer in the story sharpens and prepares his sickle because he knows the season of reaping will come and he needs to be ready for it. If we hope for some future growth, then we must prepare for it now. We should apply these lessons both to our own lives and to our communal life at St. Paul's as we hope for signs of life and the inbreaking of the kingdom of God among us. We must be patient, hopeful, and prepared, because though the growth might be imperceptible at first, it is constant and inevitable because God has sown it into the very soil of the world. How will we know when the kingdom of God has really started to flourish here? What are the signs that it is coming to fruition among us? The parable says that it's when the birds begin to nest in the branches. My first few years as a priest, I had this mentor of an older priest who was an avid bird watcher. And one time, I asked why he liked watching birds at all. And he told me that to him, birds were just a metaphor for people, each with its own quirks and traits, habits and eccentricities, some small and some large, some colorful and some rather boring, some found in flocks and some preferring to be independent, some migratory and constantly on the move, others roosting, but all looking for a tree in whose branches they can find sanctuary. A fair sign of the kingdom of God in our midst is when we have a place where all types of people can come and find sanctuary. In the shade of the branches here, we need to do the faithful work of sowing the small seeds so that that sort of place can spring up in our midst. We've entered what is known in the church as ordinary time. It can be a long, kind of boring season that stretches from the end of Pentecost until December when Advent comes. There are no major church holidays or feast days to break it up, and the weeks can flow into one another. And instead of the great stories of Jesus' life that we're all familiar with, we tend to get these nearly indecipherable teachings of his ministry. But this is a season that corresponds with the season of growth, and it will last until the harvest. That's why we mark it with green linens. And it's a season that calls for faithfulness, even, or maybe especially, when we can't see the growth happening. We must continue to keep our promises, to water the seeds of life all around us, because this is how the kingdom of God grows, imperceptibly at first, but eventually into a vast and mighty tree that becomes the sanctuary for all manner of life to come, to nest in, and to find safe haven. God has sown the seeds of the kingdom of God all around us. This is our time to be faithful and to cultivate them. Amen.